into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer, David Scorpio, Giuseppe Bafangolo. History is made. And now, the event
is... Oh, the events. All right. There it was over. Hey, all right, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. Hope we're getting through. We're having some technical difficulties in the back end here. I honestly don't know if Reba's going to be with us today. I hope she will be. I'm going to try to call her in a minute. Jim is going to be back next Wednesday, I'm sure, along with, I believe, Giuseppe. Well, I don't know if Giuseppe's going to be back. I don't think he might not be back till the 10th, which would be a week after. Yeah, he's coming back next Friday, so I don't know if he'll be here next week for the event. However, James Fetzer said he will be back Wednesday, he believes. He's feeling better. He's gotten... getting stronger. I saw he was actually online and messaged me about 11:25 the other night, which is 10:30 Central Time, which is good because, you know, usually pretty worn out by that time of the day with this, the way this hard flu has hit everybody. Anyway, so I hope you're having a great day. It's Mitch here with the event. I've got something I want to play about COVID. It's about 15 minutes. We'll play that in the beginning of the show here, and then we'll talk about it. We'll take calls right after that and for the rest of the show. It's okay. It's your show. It's Jim's show. It's the event. It's everybody's show, and we need to get the information out here that counts and that matters, that we know. So anyway, I'm gonna kick it off here. We've got a short talk by a guy named Dr. John Campbell. He's a nurse practitioner guy over in the UK. I've been listening to him off and on through the whole COVID stuff, and I agree with some of what John says, but I disagreed with many of the things he has said and pointed out. But he is looking at it from the Fauci viewpoint of too much caution and the facts. But here, John lays it out, And he's, you know, vaccines will never get it. They will never end. There will never be a booster, an end to the booster shots, because there will never be a herd immunity because of the COVID virus. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let me play this clip and we'll talk about it afterwards. Hey, way to go, Mitch. Hey, I'm on top of my low game today. Sorry, guys. Yeah, here, I'm going to start sharing. Yeah, you got to do that first, Mitch. Silly man. Anyway, you'd think I'd know that after all the time I spend on Revolution Radio. Hey, so here it is. Dr. John Campbell with, as he calls it, an important announcement. There will be no herd immunity for COVID because of the number of variants.
To today's talk, Tuesday the 31st of August. Now, over the past few days, there's been quite a major paradigm shift, really, in the way experts are talking about this virus. Now, what it seems is now inevitable that everyone is going to catch this virus, whether you're in the UK, the United States, wherever you are. It seems inevitable everyone is going to catch it because of this more transmissible Delta variant, and the fact that people that are already vaccinated can still transmit the infection. So everyone is going to get it. So what experts are saying is, given that everyone's going to get it, what is the point of carrying on mass testing? Better perhaps to do testing on clinical grounds. Now, this is a major change. But what it means is, I'm going to get this virus, you're going to get this virus, almost certainly, if this current wave of expert opinion is accurate, and it does make a lot of sense to me. Now, given that you're going to be exposed to this virus, would you like to reduce your chances of severe illness, hospitalizations, and death? Well, of course, therefore, if you've had two vaccines, the chances of that are going to be greatly, greatly, greatly reduced. And that hasn't changed. But the idea that everyone is now going to get this, we are not going to reach herd immunity. This has basically been accepted in the past few days, and it's a major change in thinking. We are not going to reach herd immunity. Initially, we thought herd immunity would probably be about 70%, then with a more infectious Alpha variant, maybe 80%, with a more infectious Delta variant, maybe 90%. But now that we're getting so many breakthrough infections, with very few breakthrough severe illnesses, hospitalizations, and deaths after vaccine, but breakthrough infections, and those infected people who have been vaccinated are infectious, they can spread it on with the same kind of viral load as people that weren't vaccinated in the first place. All these ideas have come together, and the thinking has well and truly changed. So let's look at some evidence for this. So this is a Professor Andrew Pollard, who, of course, is one of the lead. In fact, he was the lead researcher in the Oxford vaccine development team. Clear that Delta variant can infect people already vaccinated. Yes, it can infect them, much less likely to make them sick. So it's very important to get vaccinated. And he thinks this is making herd immunity impossible to reach, even with high vaccine uptake, because of the breakthrough infections. And I must say, I agree with that. Anyone who is still unvaccinated will at some point meet the virus. Now, just let the import of what he's saying there sink in. Anyone who's not vaccinated is going to get infected. And if they're not vaccinated, they've got quite a good chance of getting sick, hospitalized, or even dying, depending on their age and comorbidities. So especially people with comorbidities, and especially older people, vaccination is going to be more, it always has been essential, but it's now completely essential, because you are going to get this virus, you are going to be exposed to it. Anyone who is still unvaccinated at some point will get this infection, this virus. We don't have anything that will stop the transmission at the moment. Unfortunately, he is completely correct. So I think we're in a situation where herd immunity is not a possibility. Pretty strong words, really, for a scientist. Not a possibility. And I suspect the virus will throw up new variants that's even better at infecting vaccinated individuals. So I must say, I'm a bit disappointed to hear him say that. I was hoping that this virus had become pretty well as transmissible as it can be, because it's got a limited number of mutations possible. But Professor Pollard thinks that there could be even more infectious variants on the way. Hopefully not more pathogenic, but he thinks potentially more infectious. So everyone is going to be exposed to this virus. Get ready for it with your vaccination status, and I would add with your vitamin D levels and general level of optimizing health as well. So basically the idea now is, well, what is the point of testing? The virus is going to be everywhere. What is the point in testing? Better to test people who are sick. And this is what we do with influenza, to be fair. I mean, if people aren't sick with influenza, we don't go around testing for it. We don't go around creating statistics on how many people get influenza. What we do is, when they come into A&E departments, then we'll test them for influenza and see if they've got it. We do it on clinical grounds. So the idea is to do this testing on clinical grounds as well. And if that means we don't get neat statistics, then so be it, because it doesn't matter. It's people getting sick that matters. In that vein, Angela Merkel has announced that end of free testing in Germany from October the 11th. So again, this is the sort of philosophy behind this change in policy in Germany. They're not going to be doing the mass testing. That means these graphs we've been looking at for what, the past 18 months now, where we look at the number of cases, are going to become irrelevant, because we're not going to know the number of cases, the number of actual people, infections, testing the number of people with infections, testing positive on tests. We're not simply not going to know that. We could estimate it, but we're not going to test mass numbers of people as we were before. Now, the vaccines, important to stress, the vaccines are working. So UK vaccination prevented 60,000 deaths and 67,000 hospitalizations so far, Department of Health figures that was released a few days ago from the Department of Health. But it's never going to be enough to stop the disease from spreading. This is going to be endemic. It's almost endemic now. We are all going to be exposed to it. That makes a winter wave of infections pretty well inevitable, because of course people that are already vaccinated can still get the infection this winter, just they're unlikely to get sick. Professor Paul Hunter, who we've talked to on this channel, East Anglia University medical epidemiologist, the concept of herd immunity is now unachievable. Again, strong words for a scientist. Unachievable. It's not going to happen. The virus is going to carry on spreading, and everyone is going to be exposed. Because we know the infection will spread in unvaccinated populations, yes. And this is also disappointing from Paul Hunter. The latest data is suggesting that two doses is probably only 50% protective against infection and spreading the infection on. We still believe 90% plus effective at preventing hospitalizations, severe disease and death. In fact, around about 96% or more. So that is still good, but I would have said that it wasn't quite as bad as this, but this is the latest from Paul Hunter, and this is what he studies all day, every day, all day. So there we go. Even people that are vaccinated still only going to be protected 50% after two doses of vaccine. Time to change the way data is collected and recorded as the virus becomes endemic. Why do we need to know the numbers? It's going to be absolutely everywhere for basically the foreseeable future, for the next few seasons, unfortunately. So Paul Hunter again, we need to start moving away from just reporting infections or just reporting positive cases. So move on to reporting people who are getting sick and hospitalized, or just reporting positive cases admitted to hospital. So yes, it's important to know the positive cases, but why do we need to know those that aren't sick? It's the ones admitted to hospital and those are getting sick that we need to know about. To actually start reporting the number of people who are ill because of COVID, not the number of people who are simply testing positive. Of most of those are very minor because of vaccination. Otherwise, we're going to be frightening ourselves with very high numbers that actually don't translate into disease burden. So academic interest for the number of cases, irrelevant. Now, this is also very important for the idea of a third dose of vaccine. Now, Sajid Javid in the UK, our Secretary of Health, very keen on it, is preparing to offer COVID booster jabs from next month, from early September. Now, the JCVI, the Vaccination and Immunity Committee, haven't yet reported on this yet, but Sajid Javid is getting ready for it. This is what he seems to want, over 50s to be set, to offered boosters with the flu jab. So here we seem to be using this idea of ongoing boosters, whereas a lot of politicians are thinking, well, no, it's all around anywhere. So natural immunity is going to boost us. Now, we know that people who've had the infection followed by two vaccines have good levels of immunity. Data is being collected now, and I believe this data will show that two vaccines followed by natural infection will also massively boost the immunity. And de facto, that is what's going to happen, we believe, to most of us at the moment. Andrew Pollard again. I think as we look at the adult population going forward, if we continue to chase community testing and are worried about those results, we're going to end up in a situation where we are constantly boosting. In other words, I think what he's saying here, he doesn't want to medicalize the problem. Too much data, too much information can be a bad thing. We are going to get a booster dose of immunity every time we're exposed to this virus. Therefore, why do mass testing, as indeed the German situation, to try and deal with something which is simply not manageable, he is saying. It needs to be we need to be moving to clinically based testing people that are sick. If someone is unwell, they should be tested. So the idea is that well people will not be tested. But for their contacts, if they're not unwell, then it makes sense for them to be in school and being educated. So, again, driven very much by being unwell, not by positive or negative tests. And likewise, Dr. Richie Sooner, consultant paediatrician, she works at Imperial College London. Choosing not to vaccinate children would be unlikely to cause problems in the health service. Quite a profound statement, because, you know, politicians have been wanting to vaccinate children. The idea about vaccinating children is being moved away from now because the virus is endemic anyway. Everyone's going to get it. So why vaccinate children? And the majority of children have probably been exposed already. It really is quite a big shift. So choosing not to vaccinate children wouldn't mess things up in the health service, you're saying. What matters is the burden of patient hospitalisation, and actually there hasn't been much with this Delta variant. Not because the Delta variant doesn't make people sick. We know that Delta variant is twice as likely to cause hospitalisation in people that are unvaccinated. So I kind of agree with her here, but I think she's probably overstating the case slightly, but there we go. This is what she says. They tend to be children who have got their comorbidities who are getting sick in terms of paediatrics. Particularly children with obesity, severe neurological disorders, although not always the case. We know there is an element of risk, but this is a British paediatrician talking in the British context, is what she is saying. Now, I think it is quite different in places like the Philippines and Indonesia, where there's been a lot of children getting sick and a lot of children dying because there's more malnutrition, more comorbidities. But here we have a paediatrician who doesn't seem particularly worried about healthy children in the UK. And those children are ready. So what she's saying is the children with comorbidities, obesity and severe neurological problems, they're already considered for vaccination anyway. And then she says this is a direct quote, COVID on its own in paediatrics is not the problem. So pretty strong statement, but it's coming from a paediatrician. So what we're seeing it basically is a fairly major shift in thinking from a lot of the experts that we've been following throughout this pandemic. Now, it'll be interesting to see how SAGE goes along with this, but this does seem to be consistent with European thinking and some developing American thinking. What really concerns me is because the virus is going to infect everyone, and there's a lot of people not vaccinated, particularly in the United States, then people getting severely ill, people being hospitalized and people dying in the United States will carry on going up because the virus is going to be everywhere. So it's an interesting change, but for the unvaccinated, we really need to take this as a significant warning. So the major announcement is everyone is going to be exposed to this virus. That is now the consensus of expert opinion, and we should be prepared accordingly. So interesting shift, and it makes sense according to the way the science has been going over the past few weeks. So there we do, where we are. Talk to your friends who are unvaccinated. Explain to them that this everyone's going to be exposed to this virus, many experts now believe. Be ready for the time you are exposed to it. And as the sun's starting to go in now in autumn, I'm still fairly topped up on vitamin D because I've had a fair bit of sun exposure. But I'll be starting to top up my vitamin D pretty shortly now, because the sun's going in and I won't be making vitamin D adequately. And also, don't forget, even though it is getting colder, we need to keep the windows open and keep things ventilated to reduce the viral load as much as we can. But we are in the situation where you personally, these experts believe you are going to be exposed to this virus. Okay, that is us for today, and thank you for watching.
All right. Hey, thanks, Dr. John Campbell over there in the UK. Hey, everybody, this is Mitch filling in for Giuseppe, Scorpio, and Jim. They're all on vacation or out of the station or out of the station. Yeah, of course, they're not on there right now, are they? Yeah. Hey, they're on vacation. They're sick. You know, they're taking a break. Jim's sick, of course. Giuseppe's taking a break, and Scorpio, I'm not sure where Scorpio is, and that's okay. That's between those guys and their part of the show. But hey, man, I'm telling you, come on, give us a call, 540-352-4452. We're going to take calls early and often because, you know, this is a kind of dang it, I've been missing. Did that phone call miss again? No. I've been missing an anonymous, somebody with an anonymous number has called me, which I don't know if that's call blocked or whatever. I don't know. ID block. That doesn't matter to me. But I can't, I'm trying to find their, said they left a message, a voicemail, and yeah, you know, I don't even see it. I don't even see it on the thing here. So, sorry about that, but give us a call, 540-352-4452, and we'll talk about COVID, and we'll talk about now the realization that after 18 months of extend and pretend, of quarantines that have essentially failed 100%, masking that has failed 100%, a vaccine or vaccines that have essentially failed 100%. Isn't that the truth of what we're looking at? Isn't that the facts of what we're seeing? Isn't that what's really going on? Yeah. I mean, think about it. The medical system believed that they could eradicate a virus that had escaped and was essentially in the wild and around the world within weeks, within 4 weeks after the virus had escaped the lab in Wuhan, China. It was traveling around the world. Let's not forget the early infections in Italy, and particularly in Italy, where the manufacturing base of China's manufacturing base has, you know, essentially weaseled its way in into the, you know, the Italian footwear and handbag perfume market, you know, whatever you want to call it. Now they're using the easiest, the fastest, the most destructive Chinese methods to do something. Yeah, it's such is life. Such is life, isn't it? But we, the people, are the ones that are paying for this. The COVID vaccination, show me your papers, passport. Let's not lie to ourselves. we're creating a, you know, people are trying, people of the liberals that, you know, have always searched for equality, now are highlighting when they found this, this something that they can get people to hate people on, and that's is if they have taken the vaccine or not. They use derogatory language like anti-vaxxers. Well, I don't believe in the COVID vaccination for sure. And I'm skeptical of many other vaccines. And you can call me, you know, scientific, you know, Missouri. Yeah, you know, I'm from like Missouri. You better show me, because the truth is you just can't trust science. You can't trust it because we live in a world where there's so much political science that people don't know which way to go. That's the sad political truth of where we're at today. So anyway, hope y'all are having a great day. Yes, COVID will be and is going to be with us for essentially ever. I never expected it to, well, to disappear, you know, like they believe they could wipe out polio or, you know, some of these other diseases that first they butchered people, they killed people, and then they cured people later. Unfortunate, but true. Yeah. Our nation, our medical system, and our professionals are failing. Are failing everybody. I got to check and see if my brake kicked in or if it didn't. Be right back. There it is. Be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions awesome. About your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yeehaw! Hey, afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. This is The Event. Mitch is guest hosting today for Giuseppe, Jim, and Scorpio. They should be back. Jim said he will be back next week streaming on Wednesday, I believe. He's planning on coming back. I believe Reba is going to do Friday and possibly Monday, and I'm going to take care of today. So come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, and join us today. Remember to change the world today in this time of universal deceit. All you have to do is tell the truth. You point to the fat man and say, yes, that's it. It's right there. Right there, Mr. Fat Man. You know, it's idiocracy. You know, we have to stop. We have to keep people from, well, being, well, stupid on stupid, okay? So, what we need to do is to get more information. We need to get better information. And what we have to do is we have to understand, we have to see exactly what is going on and what are these the systemic failures that we're seeing in this, in our government today. Okay. Here's a clip from John Campbell, and he wanted to know, he had some questions, for the FDA. Hey man, what happened? Hold on a second. My system isn't working right. Hang on here. Let me get this straight back here. Evidently, I don't know when my system, what happened here? Let me get back here to the screen. See, for some reason, my screen share seem to stop. It says I'm sharing, but now let me stop. And for some reason, did my Skype froze all up? Yeah, it seems like my Skype froze, period. Yeah, hey, what the hell? I'll reset the call. I'll be right back. All right, hey there. Oh, we finally got back here. I'm sorry, guys. Somehow my my Skype was crapping out on me, and I don't know. I honestly don't know what happened. I can't say. Maybe it's the damn internet gods. Sons of guns, sons of bitches. Anyway, here, let me get back to this question for the Food and Drug Administration that they need to look at.
Well, welcome to today's talk. It's Wednesday, the 25th of August. Now, I don't think I've had as many comments on a video as we did yesterday on the FDA's full approval of the Pfizer vaccine. So I want to look into that a little more detail and do a bit of a critique. And there are questions I would have for the FDA. Let's just put it as simply as that. There's a question I've got. So we'll look at it now. Now, this is, I started my thinking off on this, looking at this article here from the British Medical Journal, published on the 23rd of August. So BMJ opinion. So it is opinion, but this is Peter Doshi, senior editor of the British Medical Journal. Now he says this, the FDA should demand adequate controlled studies with long-term follow-up and make data publicly available before granting full approval to COVID-19 vaccines. Interesting. Now, it seems he's concerned about adequate controlled studies, long-term follow-up, and data, almost suggesting here that the data is not all publicly available. So is this true? And we do find there are some justifications for his concern. Now, I'm being really careful in this video, only to say what is I've got evidence for. So just bear with it. It is a bit of a complicated one. So this here is the original Pfizer press release. So that's this one, Pfizer press release. Obviously, all the references are there for you. Now, this is from the 1st of April, 2021. So this is the Pfizer press release on the original efficacy data of the their Pfizer BioNTech vaccine. All there in its glorious detail, if you want to read through that. So the vaccine basically is highly effective with a 91.3% vaccine efficacy is the suggestion there. And bear in mind, this is the 1st of April, before Delta times in virtually everywhere, certainly before Delta times in the United States, but 91.3% vaccine efficacy against preventing infection. But the data cutoff for that was the 13th of March. So this report here is clearly dealing with very early data, data that was cut off on the 13th of March, 2021. So pretty early stuff. Immunity measured 7 days through up to 6 months after the second dose. So here we're seeing that the longevity appears to be 6 months. But remember, that was published on the 1st of April and the data cutoff was the 13th of March. I know this is a bit complicated, but stick with it. Now, 6 monthly safety and efficacy vaccine data. This is published on the 28th of July. Now, that is this paper here, available here in preprint form. And again, it's all there. I've downloaded the PDF. You can download the PDF there. The full detail is actually there on that paper. So again, I think I'm only telling you what is in the literature here. So that's that study. That's the reference. Ongoing phase three COVID-19 vaccine trial. Now, bear in mind, the press release was the 1st of April. There, that's the 1st of April. That was the press release. And this is published on the this was published on the 28th of July. So April, May, June, July. So you'd expect 10 months follow-up data here, wouldn't you? Which would make sense for this paper. Ongoing phase three COVID-19 vaccine trial. Good, absolutely. Vaccine effectiveness against COVID-19 was 91%. So they're still quoting the same efficacy figures here on the 28th of published on the 28th of July as they were published on the 1st of April. But bear in mind, that 1st of April bit was cut off on the 13th of March. And then we take a direct quote from, this is not from the abstract I've shown you, this is from the paper itself. The current report provides update efficacy analysis conducted on cases occurred up to the 13th of March 2021, which of course is the same as the original press release. And strangely enough, it's a 91.3 versus a 91% efficacy. It's basically the same efficacy data. So rather strange there that full follow-up paper published on the 28th of July still had a cutoff date way back in March, the same as the 1st of April cutoff. But that same paper did acknowledge that the efficacy on average declines of around about 6% every 2 months, even by that paper's standards. So you could argue that there's a lack of internal validity there, that the it's almost contradicting itself, but it does appear to be, well, in my mind, it's certainly contradicting the previous press release of the 1st of April. Okay, so move forward to the 23rd of August. Yeah, 23rd of August, the FDA's release. Now, obviously, this is a lot more time has passed now, so obviously we'd expect the data to be fully updated, as the FDA have done this massive full review of just about everything to give it full approval. So let's see what the latest data is. So that is from this here, FDA full approval. That's the link. Based on results from clinical trials, the vaccine was 91% effective against preventing COVID-19 disease. Oh dear. So we see that the data here apparently doesn't appear to have been updated from the 13th of March, despite this full approval granted by the FDA on the 23rd. So I wonder, I don't want to put words into Peter DeChai's mouth, but maybe that's what he was concerned about, that there should be adequate and data publicly available before granting full approval. Maybe this is part of his concern. So that is interesting. And again, I'm just trying to go completely off what is actually said here in the literature. I'm not giving you an opinion. This is just what this report says. So this is the FDA full approval here. And that's it. And there we see it. There we see it there. Based on the results of the clinical trial, the vaccine was 91% effective at preventing disease. And that sentence was published on the 23rd of August by the FDA as their FDA approval press release. Let me give you my opinion here. Sloppy at best, FDA, sloppy at best. So question to the FDA here, what's the latest figure? What is the latest efficacy figure? Second question, why wasn't the latest efficacy figure published on your press release granting, giving the information about full approval on the 23rd of August? Now, there's other aspects of this we could have looked at, but you know, you can only look at one. We're just looking at one thing, so we'd get it right. Let's get this detail correct. So 91% efficiency, we see from the press release, from the paper, and apparently reinforced by the FDA on the 23rd of August. Come on, FDA. Simply, in my view, FDA, not good enough. But let's go back to last week and the paper we reported on here by the CDC, published 18th of August. So that's what, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 5 days before the FDA published that questionable sentence. We looked at this at the time in great detail, of course. New York data, from memory, it was about 10.5 million people in this study. New York data, protection against infection, 25th of July. In the United States, in the New York area, 97.8%. But we look at the August the 23rd press release from the FDA, and we see their sentence says 91% efficacy. So to me, 91% efficacy there and 70, 9.8% efficiency there. In fact, there it is. Let me just show you the whole thing so you know I'm not making this up. There's the whole thing there. That is that paper of the 18th of August. Yeah, here we see it in this paper here. The overall age-adjusted vaccine effectiveness against new COVID-19 cases for all adults declined from 91.7 to 79.8% during this time period. So read the full thing for yourself. Now, we have to balance this because we're talking about protection against infection here. Now, this same study, that one from the CDC, that did point out this. So age-adjusted effectiveness against hospitalization was maintained. So they said that range from 91.9% to 95.3%. So this is not talking about protection against hospitalization. It's talking about protection against infection. Direct quotes: during May the 3rd to July the 25th, 2021, the overall age-adjusted vaccine effectiveness against new COVID-19 cases for all adults declined from 91 to 79.8%. So that's clear. But during the same period, the overall age effectiveness against hospitalizations was relatively stable, 91 to 95.3%. So direct quotes in case age-adjusted vaccine effect misinterpreted something. So that is pretty clear, really, I think. Now, moving on to more up-to-date data provided by Israel. So Israeli data here now. This is a Reuters report. Vaccine effectiveness in preventing both infections and symptomatic disease fell to 64% since the 6th of June. And of course, in Israel, they are now starting to give a lot of third doses. So Israeli data, 64% there. And if we just remind ourselves of what the FDA approval report said, published on the 23rd of August. Yep. 91% effectiveness. Okay, I mean this really is a bit sloppy, isn't it? I mean, Israel says Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is just 39% effective as Delta spreads, but it still prevents severe illness. So still preventing severe illness. We need vaccination, but it'd be good to have accurate data, and that data is from the 20th of June to the 17th of July. So interesting statement from Peter Desai there. We need a bit more data and we need full public transparency. And to be quite honest, I expect FDA press releases to be up to date. I would expect that. Now, the reason people are concerned about this is justified, because let me just give you some information as I understand it. Now, I got this, I started off again from the British Medical Journal here and did check the references. Now, this paper here is published by Fierce Pharma. You can read it for yourself. I've put the link there. I've no reason to assume it's inaccurate, but I can't actually validate its validity either. But the reason that a lot of people are concerned is this, that the data from here, that's from the, so the BMJ is quoting this source, and that is the source here. The Fierce Pharma is the source of this information. The company now predicts 2021 sales of $33.5 billion. I mean, we're dealing with money that's off the scale here. Pfizer and BioNTech now expect to deliver 2.1 billion doses of I haven't learned to say this word yet. Comirnaty, that's the new Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, how it's being marketed worldwide this year, and manufacture 3 billion. Wow. And we believe, according to this article actually tells us that the average price is about $15, or this or one other article in that series. Now, I have no way of authenticating this. I don't know, but that's what that source says. 2022 production capacity at 4 billion. So if they were to sell 4 billion doses, you don't need me to tell you that's like over $60 billion. So you can see why some people might be a little bit cynical about this.
Yeah.
Now, what do I think? Well, I'd like to ask the FDA those questions. Why was the press release out of date? It seems clear, though, that the data is saying that the vaccine protects us against good levels of protection against hospitalisation and death. But it also seems clear now that infection, protection against infection alone is waning, and that press release from the FDA doesn't really seem to communicate that clearly to my mind. Now, different people in different parts of the world are looking at this, of course. I'm only one guy looking at one aspect. That's all we can do. But those questions for the FDA remain. Why was your information apparently out of date on your press release of the 23rd of August? What is the new the new figures? And when will we be able to see these new figures? Thank you. And of course, thank you. Thank you very much for watching.
Hey, thanks, John. Sorry about the audio earlier, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what happened. Skype's acting up, or I don't know what it is. Maybe people just don't want you to get accurate information on COVID and how now the medical professionals themselves that have been singing one tune all along are now singing another tune, that the gig is up. I really don't think they can hide it anymore of what they're saying and doing. So, yeah, we're coming to a break here, and we got about a minute to the break. Yeah, about a minute and a half. And you can give us a call at the break or shortly after the break, 540-352-4452. I'm going to find some more clips and videos, probably on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and also some there's some clips I know of on the on some studies on in Mexico, Peru, and India, and other places that are effectively combating and beating, you know, this virus without the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, and the other. And the other death shots, as I call them. Yeah, you're taking a so-called vaccine for something that's, you know, 99.9% survivable easily for most people. So I think that's an important thing that we have to remember. There were no, as Glenn Greenwald pointed out from at Substack.com, where he now is, that there has been no analysis done, cost-benefit analysis of what we did in the whole response to COVID. Anyway, so here we should be coming to a break. We should be in it right now. Come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, the event. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years. Some resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, howdy. Good afternoon. Hope you're having a great day. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. This is the event. And it's over time. Yeah, come on down. Give us a call. Just trying to get back to this audio that we have. Maybe have a little audio with our breaks and back in. We're trying to kind of figure out. Yeah, maybe it's that. I'm not sure. We'll see. Screw it all up. Screw it. Have a fun time trying to fix it. Nah, it's okay. It's not but a few little switcher buttons. So I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. Thanks for tuning back in to the event. Yes, it's Mitch. I'm guest hosting today. I didn't know whether to just do my normal rant of a show. Or, you know, because I've already, you know, gone over news and information for 2 hours earlier today, or last night's Trump assassination files, or try to come up with some new material for everybody. Not sure. I'm sorry. Hey, you guys, did I get, I'm pretty sure I did Studio A already. Let me check for make sure. I got the simulcast going. I was pretty sure. Yep. Simulcast is going on A. So I didn't forget to ask. Jim and Gazeffi and Scorpio will be back, I believe, next Wednesday. but I'm not 100% sure. Giuseppe may be out till the 10th, but I know Jim will be back. Jim is still recovering from the COVID, and Giuseppe is out till the 10th, which is next week, but the 8th would be the Raw deal. So is he going to miss another week of that? I'm not 100% sure. Mona Radler is right of graphene, aluminum, LNP capsids, parasites found in four different vaccines. If you didn't hear, you know, there's been an ongoing a problem with the vaccines in Japan. Yes, Japan will be looking at, how should I say this? They've already rejected one dose or one batch of 1.6 million because of quote unquote metallic and magnetic particles in them. And we know that two other batches were rejected in a province on Okinawa where there was black contamination inside the vials. And then just this week, just yesterday, there was another incident where more vaccines were found to be contaminated. It certainly is a certainly is hell in a handbasket when now they say that over I think it's 4,000 people have been injected by the contaminated vaccines. No word on, they were Moderna, manufactured in Spain. No word on exactly where that's going or what anybody is going to do about that. So it's, well, it's a tough day. It's a tough question. I mean, me, I'm not taking the vaccine. I had COVID. I had a very severe respiratory illness last spring at the very end of February. It essentially lasted 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah, almost 5 weeks, I guess, because it was on the 23rd or so of March when I went to the VA hospital. And it was the very first day they had started their special COVID protocols. I ended up with bronchitis as the secondary infection, kind of, or the secondary problem with getting over that initial COVID, where my lungs were burning. They felt like they were essentially on fire. And I had what I call cement lung. I think a technical term of it is wooden lung, where you're trying to breathe, but you're not getting any oxygen. And for a short time, not you know, but for 12 hours to or more, 24 hours at the most, I was almost doing the mini hyperventilating. And, you know, if I'd have gone to the hospital, they'd have probably sedated me, lowered my metabolism rate to where it can't fight the disease, and then I'd have died like Robert David Steele did on the ventilator. I had reoccurring infections because it really drugged my body, my metabolism and my immune system down. Now, I already take 4,000 units of vitamin D a day. And during those times when I was sick, really sick, I had boosted it to 8,000. I doubled up my dose. And that actually did seem to help. After all, we know vitamin D and zinc in particular are very important for your immune system. And, you know, we saw this, the same, the same craziness from the media. And they actually were trying to say that vitamin D, you know, it's because it's such well-known science, it's hard for them to overcome things like where the public has a deep perception of something like vitamin D. You know, most people know and understand, as they've been taught all of their life, vitamin D helps the immune system. That in the winter, when we're not getting as much sunlight, that we are essentially, think about it, we are essentially vitamin D deprived, and lowers our immune system, and that's why we get flus and viruses. It particularly deals with the transmissibility of the disease, but of viruses themselves. But there are many natural ways that we can use supplements, if that's what you want to call them, to boost our immune system. So we know, we know that the medical system itself kills a lot of people. We have misdiagnosis, they have, wrong treatments, they just have neglect, taking people so long to get into the hospital that they end up with a recurring infection, or a regular old UTI infection. And if an elderly person is hit with something like that, it can kill them. Particularly if it drags along, and all this other stuff. Yeah, I remember once they always used to talk about this toxic, his direct line to Jim. Yeah, I got direct line to Jim. Yeah, that's no problem. We can get a hold of Jim anytime we need, Mitzi, or I need, if I have any questions. So I hope y'all are having a great day. Let's get back to some news and information, I guess, just because that's what I do. I don't do a lot of interviews, as many people know, but I will, talk about the news. The Biden administration erased the Afghan weapons reports from the federal websites. That's right. The U.S. State Department advised other federal agencies to review their web properties to content the highlights web properties for content that highlights cooperation and participation of Afghan citizens with the U.S. Government or a U.S. government partner. And please to remove that from their website or public view because it poses a security risk. Now, Joe Biden just said, we had this we had this massive successful withdrawal, but why would we, we gave them a list. We gave them a list of Americans. We gave them, and they got all the computer records there at the bases. I mean, people are people just stupid? There's still 100,000 or more people. And here's the problem I'm having. If there's 100,000 people that fled because they cooperated and worked for and helped the U.S. And there's another 100,000 that are essentially stuck there because they didn't get out. That's an army. That's an army of 200,000 people. It's crazy. It's idiocracy. Meanwhile, the Taliban holding a victory parade shows off its U.S. military hardware, complete with flag-bearing Black Hawk helicopter hovering over the length of the convoy. Hopefully, the Taliban will take these to a place and, you know, kind of make their arms depots and stuff, and they'll make big targets, and we'll be able to go in and, well, take them out. Joe Biden in 2001 or 2008 was stranded in Afghanistan. His helicopter had some mechanical problems and had to make an emergency landing. An Afghan soldier that helped rescue Joe Biden is now left. Oh, hey, yeah, Mitzi, I just was reading your thing. Hey, you want to call me? 540-352-4452. That's my call-in number here at the show. And you can talk about it. That's what I would say. Yeah, so we're taking calls here in the second hour. Hopefully, I don't know why, but it says an anonymous call, and it's looking like it's dead in the water. Uh-oh, hey, here's Scaredy Cat. Hey, hello, Scaredy Cat. How are you doing? Hello, Scaredy?
Hi, Mitchell.
Hey, how you doing today? God bless you.
Hey, I'm fine, thank you. Hey, I called in because thank you to tell you, thank you for the warm welcome for us listeners. You know how you just said, this is Jim's show. This is your show, meaning talking to us, the listeners. This is everybody's show. This is the event. So you're making me warm and fuzzy inside at revolution.radio. And I am pointing out to you that the last show, which was occupied by the other a woman who came out of the blue, that is the first time I experienced censorship at revolution.radio.
Uh-huh.
She just gassed on and on from the chambers of her mouth, you know, killing us with the hot gas, killing the people listening. And then she opened up the radio at 1:40, only 15 minutes left for talking. And then I called right away as soon as you announced the phone number. And she just kept talking. And she even asked a couple of times, Mitch, are there any listeners on hold? And I was holding the whole time. And
yes,
she
well,
delivered...
I understand.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know that that is...
Well, yeah, well, people, when people, you know, people get attacked personally, that's different than attacking, you know, a group of people or a topic or something along those lines. So, you know, that's here or there. And we should just try to move forward with our lives. And, you know, we all have to agree to disagree. Because, you know, I have this idea, it's kind of novel today, that we can stand there, you know, we should have the ability, you know, as people should be able to stand there and cuss each other up and down and call each other the worst names. But at the end of the day, at the very end of that day, we have to realize that we have the freedom to do that. They have the freedom to do that. And there is no other place on the planet where people have the freedom basically to cuss each other out and without trying to slaughter each other. And you know, we've lost so much communications today. You know, we particularly at home, where people aren't encouraged to talk about over the table or at dinner and stuff. You know, so we never have the conversations even at home and within ourselves. And then it's even tougher to have those conversations outside of our home and give everybody that room to speak, to be free. I understand what you're saying. I just believe that, you know, we need to have character even above and beyond what crazy rhetoric that we might be speaking, because, you know, as you know, politics and such is so like that. And what we're seeing today is, you know, we're seeing basically the Democrat Party, you know, take a hatchet to the Constitution and to free speech, and along with the social media companies, we're no longer allowed to have that discussion, you know, because of censorship, and that hurts everybody. So, I understand what you're saying. I understand from both sides of that viewpoint. Where can we go? Because we can't, you know, we can't have segregated privileged speech. You know, we can't say, well, your speech is more important than hers, or her speech is more important than yours, or him's or theirs, you know. And today, you know, it just appears that everybody doesn't want to allow that other person to have that voice or have that space. I don't know if I'm kind of, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Here's a great example. Here's one example. This might sound crazy. The Taliban, okay? The Taliban have said that there was a report that they were going to ban growing poppies again. And I'm thinking, wow, that's such a good thing. And, you know, one of the farmers over there said, well, a lot of people are going to starve, and we're going to do it, because right now they are running the government. But at the same time, I mean, I know people are growing opium to make a profit, just the same as, you know, the drug cartels in Colombia and Mexico, you know, grow and make drugs for a profit so they can have a living, so to speak. But we have to raise ourselves kind of above that. You might have the right to do that, and it might be free in your country, but it's not a morally acceptable thing to me to do, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make any sense? Maybe
absolutely.
That's a bad example.
That example, you hit the nail on the head. So I could just like say it some more, maybe in different words, so to flesh it out a little. So free speech is absolutely important. And at the same time, actually it was Jews who promoted free speech applied to pornography. At that time, the Catholics in America had, I think it was in the 1950s or 60s, they had something called, I forget exactly the title. I'm not a historian. I'm just a mom sitting in a little house in a, you know,
right,
street. Dr. E. Michael Jones, the famous Catholic author and publisher, he mentioned it. There was some kind of code. I think the word actual code was in the decency code or user code. I'm not sure, which ruled the entertainment industry, that you can't have pornography. And at that time, through the 60s and 70s, for decades and decades, around that time, I can't say if it was the 50s or 60s or 70s, Jews, the people of the Jew community, they kept, like, as a whole, in magazine articles, blasting on TV, free speech, and, you know, we should, I remember myself as a teenager in the early, sort of 1970s and 80s, after coming, well, we came around that. Early 1980s, I remember Jesus Christ's, image on a cross, you know, put in a bucket of urine. And that was so, that was praised by all the Jew magazines. Wow, what art, what great freedom of speech. So this obnoxious indecency, and which is okay, you could say, okay, all right, we'll call it art. Well, let's not, as a decent society, because you are confusing deliberately people who want to do harm to society, which was the Jews at that time. They said, oh, isn't this decent? Because no Christian is going to say it's decent. No Muslim is going to say. Muslims adore Jesus Christ. So they get just as
Was that the same Muslims that were blowing up Christians and murdering the ones in Syria? I mean, the Coptic and also over in Egypt. We have propaganda problems with our governments. People don't quite understand that we have so much propaganda and so many problems with our religions. And those dogmas have run through so many generations and through so much, you know, from Jews killing people to drinking blood to the Nazis doing the same thing to, you know, to Muslims, to Hindus, to, you know, to every religion seems to be, has been subject to this kind of horrific type of propaganda. We got a break coming. I don't think you'll be able to hear it, Scary, but just hang on a minute. It's there.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all
Hold
their
on
support
a minute. This
that has made
here.
Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. This is the event. This is Mitch setting in for the crew. It's their big shoes to fill, and we'll work on doing it. We've got Scaredy Cat on the line, and we've got a new caller, 561 area code. I'm not sure. It might be Mitzi. I'm not 100% sure. Welcome back, everybody. So where should we pick up from here? Our new caller, you want to introduce yourself and tell us who you are?
Yes, this is Reba. Scaredy Cat was just speaking about
Reba.
Me.
Hello,
and I
Reba.
Wanted to make a statement, and then I'll jump off the line. You know, when someone has a guest on a radio show, we want to respect and honor that person and stick to the topic at hand. On Monday, I did a show with Mitchell Gerber, who was calling from Vietnam, and we were talking about the plight of the Falun Gong in China. They are being murdered for organ harvesting. And then last Friday, I had a guest on the show who was speaking about the vaccines and the problems with the masks. And how they're being contaminated. And Scaredy Cat, unfortunately, has spoken anti-Semitic statements, directing them personally at me every time she calls in when I'm doing a show. And it's disrespectful and dishonoring of the guests that I have on the show that I'm interviewing. And that's not what I would call free speech. I don't think that's what anyone would call free speech. In fact, it's hate speech. She's very anti-Semitic, and she might want to re-examine how she's forming the words coming out of her mouth. And I have also been informed that she's actually Muslim, not Christian. So I don't know why the personal attacks. Maybe she's being paid by Marco Rubio, since she seems to be promoting Kim, and she seems to be personally attacking me, and I'm running for that seat in Florida. But I'm going to jump off now and continue about my day, but I just wanted to address her continual attacks every time I'm on the show on Revolution Radio. And I hope you guys have a great day.
Hey, thank you. Well, there it is. As you know, we should discuss topics, and you know, I don't know why, you know, there is quite a number of people that have that have problems with Jewish people. And why that is, you know, I don't know. I've known good people and bad people of many different faiths. And, you know, what I have learned is that each individual is an individual. You know, I'm scaredy, I know you're a Muslim, and I don't care. I judge you by you and your actions. I can't judge you by the actions that other people that you may see. And here's a problem that I think liberals have. They judge people by the actions of whoever is kind of popular at the clique at the time. You know, I could judge Jews for spreading the garbage and the sewage that they do at the around the schools in Palestine and stuff. And I do. I mean, that's horrific. That just sucks. You know, they shouldn't do that. You know, at the same time, people shouldn't be floating firebombs with balloons over to someplace. And, you know, I know there's a conflict going on, and I know there's war. And there's individuals that are responsible for horrific actions. There are individuals that are responsible for hate crimes, for example. We have to kind of get past this, you know, this idea that we're going to assign blame to an entire group of people because of the actions you know, if even half of those people, that's, you know, that's one of the things that I see going on today. And, you know, we, you know, in America, we are, should be judged by the depths of our individual characters, you know, and ourselves, not people that, you know, they may look like us, they may worship like us, they may even claim to be like us. But you and I both know, Scary, there's a lot of bad people within all of our own social and societal circles. And we can't blame Jews or individual Jews because of this thing, particularly people that we don't personally know. And you know, I see that often, and I just think it's just it's just a bad precedent to set. Go ahead. You should respond. I know. Go ahead.
Okay, Mitch, thanks. So many different points, and we only have maybe 15 minutes left. Okay, so let's see. You are giving the mic to that Jewess. You said maybe on 2 days, on this upcoming Friday, day after tomorrow, and then after the weekend.
But why the personal attack on a person's religion? Neither and I have ever met her. We don't know her. You know. We're only framing our thoughts and our minds on, you know, this propaganda and dogma that we carry with us. I mean, I admit I'm guilty of some of the same things because of Democrats or socialists and communists. And, you know, I try to be consciously aware instead of, you know, this subconscious programming of mine of driving. You know, it, and here's the other thing, you know, when you attack those groups like that, it doesn't make you look favorable, I guess is the way I'm saying. And that's one of the reasons why words are so important. We got about, 18 minutes left, I think. And we got Mitzi. She joined us. So I'm sorry, Scaredy. I shouldn't have cut you off. But it really is when you say that Jewish woman, you know, that's, you know, that's maybe just like me saying that's some mongrel Muslim. And, you know, that is such a derogatory attack. It you eliminate.
You especially should know that you do that. Of all religions, go back to your shows. And I never blamed you for it. You constantly say those nut job Muslims. So, for example, you don't hold, for example, I'm going to use sarcasm and say, you know, our president, Joe Biden, because all the top positions he has filled are now filled, our State Department. You are blaming Afghanistan, Taliban. Who is the State Department chief? The Jew, Antony Blinken. Okay, almost all of Joe Biden's cabinet are filled by Jews. And there is and the thing is, I do want to say, I not really want to say, but I'm trying to.
Do you believe that? Go ahead. I'm going to ask you a question about that particular point you just made then. Go ahead.
Yeah. The fact you just told me, it doesn't make me look favorable. And you used the phrase personal attack. That is a lie. You are trying to be a politician. You're running for a seat and you talk a long time and I quietly listen. That is not called a personal attack. That is called identifying, pointing out a fact. And the fact that you said, I don't look favorable, I'm doing a personal attack. Now, everybody will think of that phrase instead of looking at the actual conversation and the words that I used. So you are now like using like a meta-analysis. You're putting a framework on me. And for that Jewess, that is true. If she's not proud of her religion, then it's a statement of fact. That Jewess called me by words anti-Semites. Now, she and her community, the Jew community, are the most anti-Semites. The worst, by a thousand times worse, are the anti-Semites, because they are murdering Arabs who are the real Semites. I have to study the numbers more, but an investigator should investigate and call in to this show or a future show that the 90% of Semites are Arabs. And the superpowers, the now the American government, previously the British government, and then also in the middle, the Russian government, these three Christian superpowers, they have been busy demolishing Semites, which are the real Semites are the Arabs in all the Arab countries and related countries. Neighbors of Arabs are the other Muslims, such as myself. I'm not an Arab, but I'm a neighbor of an Arab country. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I used to be. My family was before we came to become Americans. And to label somebody an anti-Semite is a Jew filthy technique of targeting somebody. Now, the 6 million living Jews are now all busy typing up.
All right. Jews
sitting in Tel Aviv, they're busy typing who I am and doxing me. They have my voice print, and because Revolution.radio let her occupy Jim's chair, now she has my phone number and everything. And I don't know that much.
You don't
about
think? Oh, I'm come on! Now you don't think that if the Mossad or any of these assholes wanted to get my phone number, your phone number, any of these phone numbers, they could easily to type our voices and everything else. Of course they have, and of course they do, because anybody that speaks out and speaks truth is targeted. Now, here's my question. I wanted to ask a question. We have Mitzi here, too. I want to give her a chance. I wanted to ask you, do you think, since you claim that the upper echelon of Shitshow Joe's cabinet and his administration is essentially, you know, the Jewish mafia, basically the Jewish political mafia. That's kind of how you made it sound. Do you believe that they're administering the government at the behest of Israel, or just for the behest of some other group? I mean, as I said before, casting, you know, such a wide net and saying that every person is this and every person is that, I 100% disagree with those dispersions. I believe even within the Muslim community, the Hindu community, you know, the Arab community, the Chinese community, all communities have different people in them. And there are the zealots, there are the people that are good and go along with certain tenets, and particularly do no harm tenets and stuff like that. And there's people that will murder in the name of their religion. Now, they haven't been, you know, here in the United States, that hasn't been going on, but it's a pretty standard practice in some places of the world. And that's just horrible. But do you really think that these people are administering the United States government at the behest of Israel, or Israel, as I prefer to call it? Scaredy, that was for you.
Yeah, Mitch, that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I mean, everybody is an individual. Everybody has their own opinion. The thing is that it doesn't matter. And I think I would request you to ask questions a little bit more fairly. I can't right now. There's so many things being said. You know, mostly.
Okay.
I
understand.
And the thing is,
that's
I
a
do
lot
want
to
say,
try to unpack in a short response.
Yeah,
I agree.
I request this to everybody. Ask questions, not leadingly, but just fairly and honestly. And the
well, that's do you so you honestly believe
Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian in Russia, motherland Russia, Christian, famous Christian and author. You know, I love his saying. He said, the line between good and evil, and then everybody's thinking, oh, where could it run? Us, them, this culture, that culture. The line between good and evil runs through every human heart. So we all have a little bit of wickedness in us, and almost every single person, billions, all the 7.5 billion,
okay,
mostly are good, have mostly good in them, 99. But, you know, we're tempted to cheat
well,
a little.
You know, that's on a sliding scale, okay? The
yes.
truth is, in Pakistan, in their culture in Pakistan, if you insult Allah, if you insult Muhammad, was it 75 to 90% of the people believe you should be put to death? Now, to me, that's not very highly civilized, but that's just
Are they
me.
Actually doing it? See, you quote these who
Yes,
who
they're doing it. Jiminy Christmas, Scaredy. The Taliban, for example, are stoning women pilots to death. Okay? All right. We know that. We know that. We've seen the videos. We've seen the videos of women, of children, essentially being sold to old farts with beards that are 65 and 70 years old. That's not a civilized society.
Okay. America is mostly a Christian country, and the ratio of Jews to the rest of humanity is 500 to 1. There should be one congressman in our house, in our legislature. We have instead 37. And in this last
election... So, God, give it up. Give up the hate of the Jews. Here, let's... Mitzi's kind of next if she wants to get into this. I don't know. But Paul's on here, but you're going to have to wait because we only got about 7 or 8 minutes left, Scaredy. Who wants to go next, Mitzi or Paul?
I'm ready.
Okay, Paul. Shoot, bang.
All right, so I didn't catch it all. I've caught the last, I don't know, however many minutes. I find it tedious. This is an old, you know, argument that we don't really need to be worried about. I mean, it's the not all argument in its essence. Everything else is just dressing, okay? Anybody can articulate the not all argument. Oh, not all Muslims, not all Jews. It's just nonsense. This is exactly why we can't have women in politics. We can't have women making decisions for the culture, for the civilization, for the group, because they don't have the kind of clarity that is necessary if you want to survive or you want to get things done or you want to win. Sorry, all you beautiful women out there, I do respect you for who you are and what you are, but what the reason that our country, our civilization is going to hell is because the Jews, on purpose, promoted to us the equality of blacks, the equality of women, the equality of mestizos, and this is what they're using as a weapon against us. It's so simple, I don't even know any other ways to express it, and I've done so many times. We don't need any Muslims in this country. They're not us. We don't need any Arabs, any Semites, any Jews. This was a white country. And if you look at what some of the founding fathers said, including many well-known statements attributed to Benjamin Franklin, they predicted the future. What's attributed to Franklin, some people dispute, but he basically said that if we allow the Jews in here in any large numbers, they will corrupt the moral sphere, they will lower the honesty of commercial transactions, and our children and grandchildren will curse us. Well, what do we have now? What are we looking at now? And all I can tell you is this, is all this talk about Semites and Arabs, if you look at the faces, this is a racial issue at its core. People don't want to make it so, but it is, okay? The Jews, for the most part, are racial. The religion plays little to no part. You can look at the religion as a philosophy, but it's not real. Race is real. It's biological. White people are real. They exist. Democracy is a concept. The Constitution is a piece of paper. White people are actual, real, living biology, just like all these other people. And we can see by their performance and their behavior exactly who they are. We've all heard Jim Fetzer give his criminal statistics about what would happen in just New York if blacks and mestizos were taken out of the criminal equation. How much crime would there be? Well, there wouldn't be much. The bottom line is this, is we're being flooded on purpose. Jews are behind it. Okay, we're being flooded on purpose as part of the way to undermine this country and to destroy it. COVID-19 doesn't exist. Okay, it's a psychological operation. It's just a way to get a needle of containing poison in our arms. And there's nobody else behind this except for the Jews and their Shabbos Goy cooperators. Thanks for hearing that. The last thing I'll say about most Arabs, if you look at their faces and you look at their pictures, I started to go down this road, they have a lot of black in them. They have a lot of Negroid features, okay? Most Arabs are probably not the Arabs of the Bible or the Semites of the Bible. So we're looking at extremely low IQ, high criminality, high primitiveness compared to whites, compared to Aryans. And that's what Europe and America and Canada and Australia needs zero more of. And like I said, there's plenty of people like me that would send 90% of them or more back. All right, thanks for hearing my little rant. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, Paul. Hey, I know some white troglodytes right down the road here. So I'd be careful about, you know, talking about the up in the IQ of us Caucasian people. God bless you. Hey, well, Scaredy, what do you think?
Hey, Mitch. So the thing is, see, Mitch, you used the sentence, give up your hate of Jews. Don't do that anymore. You are taking words and putting it into a category. Hate crime is a Jewism. It's an idea to attack people, target them, lawfare them, make them homeless. And then Jew bankers will take their property. And so in Afghan refugees, Muslims don't want to be refugees. It's a big thing in Muslim philosophy is do not become a beggar. Do not go. And that includes begging other countries to take you. We always are taught to be strong. If you don't have that much food, we'll just, you know, cook rice and beans. Do not become a beggar. Always try to be charitable. If you have a piece of bread, share it with a beggar, but don't you yourself become a beggar. Work and earn it. And every Jew newspaper has the phrase, Afghan refugees. We must help Afghan refugees. There are 600 Jew organizations only in America, one country out of 200 countries. Every country has rabbis welcoming Muslim quote refugees. These Muslims didn't want to be refugees. Christians bombed their countries, 30
countries. You know, here's the thing, too.
Into stones.
Go ahead.
And ruined their lives. And now
you got a minute.
All the prisoners and the rapists and murderers Muslims who got let out of prison, which Muslim judges had put them there. Now they're going to Europe and murdering. And now Jew TV is saying, and also white nationalists are saying, these awful Muslim rapists and murderers. Well, they were in prison before their country got smashed. Yes.
Okay. Well, listen, we're running real close on time. We've got 1 minute left. You've got 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
It's
and
a problem.
Paul, do you have anything to add for 20 seconds, 30 seconds? What you got? Or did he go?
I feel over the years, I'm kind of talked out. The writing's on the wall where we either have to fight or die over an extended period of time, maybe even decades. But certainly we're on the way out unless we become racist. That's it. Racism is the only solution. That's why they're always beating us over the head about how terrible it is to be racist. If we're not racist, we're finished. Sorry.
To disagree with you.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, if you want to... Okay, that's fine. But if you want to create a society where everybody's going to fight, this is what's the way you do it. Hey, everybody, the event's over for today. God bless you. Thanks for Paul and Scaredy Cat and Reba. God bless. Good day and good luck.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
We'll be right back.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.